Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer. I've thrown him off. He's having a vape. He's having a vape in his own flat because he doesn't care.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming and drummers. I'm George Pickering and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
Wow.
There's a Tom. Do you know what I mean? Like, there it is in your face. Pop punk. Green Day.
You are joining myself and Georgie Boy here on the podcast, Drum and Drummer.
Yep.
How you doing, mate?
I'm good. First notable thing, you're in your flat for the first time ever
yes.
for a podcast.
Let's talk about home.
That. You're at home.
Yeah. So
that's it, really?
Yeah, basically. I got the gear now. I can do this at home.
Yeah.
So let's do it at home.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a slightly different setup. You get used to things, don't you, George?
You do, yeah.
You get used to things. And now here I am with, it's all very similar, but it's very different.
Mm.
And for one, I'm using AirPod Pros.
Cool.
For my headphones. So I'm free, but to do this.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Listeners can't. Listeners won't know what he just did, but yeah. That was mental. I've never seen you move like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He sort of did.
Just
I don't
think
know
Mark
what that
Rainbow
was.
Rhythms.
That was. I was just gonna say that. If you've watched Peep Show, think of Mark in Rainbow Rhythm. I couldn't have. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was spot on.
But
wow.
Fundamentally, the mic's in a fixed place, so I do need to be static.
You need a Britney mic, and then you
for
can
that.
Dance.
Oh, there we go.
We could walk.
Well, you see,
our
I could
flats.
Use the mic on the headphones.
Yeah,
but no.
If we get Britney
sweet,
mics,
sweet.
And I start going back to doing the podcast in the flat, which I may do because sometimes the Wi-Fi here can be slow and cut out, we could both get Britney
yeah,
mics, and then we could just
sort the
do...
Wi-Fi out. Trying to run a podcast here, mate.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah. We could do like get cleaning done and stuff because I never really like cleaning when I'm not.
We're trying to find
to
stuff to do. I've got to do the hoovering.
Yeah,
so we'll two birds, one stone.
Yeah,
we'll do the podcast.
I'm a big fan of two birds, one stone.
You know? I thought you were going to do, say, you wanted to do the podcast while swimming in the sea.
That'd be good. That'd be good. I do want to do an episode in the pub one day. I think it'd be funny.
On
I
Zoom?
Yeah.
Who's that nutter in the corner?
Both go to separate pubs and just set up a laptop. No, I think it'd be good. It would just be interesting. Do a two-hour podcast, edit it down to half an hour, but just, get a guest and just see what happens. Be interesting to see the start of the pod to the end. Be like, oh, we can't talk about that. And at the end, be like, right, let me tell you what I think about this drummer, you know. Anyway, I feel like you've got a lot of stuff today.
I got a few bits. I said
you
at the end
prepared.
Of, yeah, I said at the end of the last episode, because I waffled on
about plateauing and shit.
Mm.
But I mentioned about cymbal cleaning.
Yeah, let's start with that. Let's start with that.
To clean or not to clean.
That is the question. Yeah.
It's a question as old as time itself.
Mm.
So what got me thinking about this, George, was the pair of new Beats I picked up in New York City. No cracks on them, no damage.
Yep.
Second hand.
Yep.
But the top hi-hat is very dirty. Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
To a point where you go, it looks visually unappealing.
Yeah, and not dirty in a kind of, oh, that sounds great, that is dirty. But in yeah, a sort of, just, it's got muck on it.
Yeah, it looks a bit mucky. Looks a yeah. bit mucky. But I've seen bits online and things about cleaning cymbals.
Mm.
Some people go, yeah, clean your cymbals.
Yeah, sure.
Some people go, no, no. Don't clean your cymbals.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So, like many things, who's telling the truth?
Mm.
Now, I'll pre-word this with, I don't know, but I thought it was a bit of a interesting little discussion.
It is.
About cleaning cymbals or not cleaning cymbals. And George, ask me, I'll ask you this.
Mm.
Have you ever cleaned your cymbals?
Never.
Never done it. Yeah, okay.
But I'm not someone who takes the best care of my kit.
Yourself.
So. Or myself, you know.
Yeah.
Anything, really. So, cymbals, they're not getting cleaned. I'll say my thought on it, and then I'll let you know. I'll let you say what you got, because I feel like you've looked into this, and I just have
yeah, sure,
vague
yeah, yeah.
opinions. So, I'll relate it to skins, drum heads. If you're in a pop punk band or something that's very energetic and bright, people say, get those tom heads reskinned. You don't want them to be dead. You know what I mean? You want them to be bright. Wow! There's a tom. Do you know what I mean? Poof! Like, there it is in your face. Pop punk. Green Day. You know, Blink 182. Sum 41. Etc. Whereas, if you're playing in a sort of, I don't know, I don't want to pigeonhole jazz. I don't think that's the right term. But maybe more a sort of blues thing or something a bit more laid back where you want a bit more warmth. That's where people have said, you don't want the toms to be dead, but you want them to be a bit, you know, a bit played, a bit, you know, they've been whacked a little bit. I feel like maybe it's the same as cymbals. I feel like if you're in a genre, this could all be bollocks. Who do I know, you know? Who am I to speak? Who are you to listen? Cymbals, maybe it's the same. Maybe if you're playing music that lends itself to like bright, energetic sounds, clean those bad boys. But if you're in like a jazz bar in Soho playing some soft blues, get that dirty ride on there, boy. You know what I mean? That's my thought on it. So maybe it's the genre. That's my thinking.
Okay, you're going genres. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So I've been doing a bit of Googling, you know, mm-hmm. and just seeing about, and I've seen things on Reddit and other things. And let's go look at the side of cleaning cymbals.
Yeah.
Right. We're cleaning them. Okay. Now, when I was younger, I did in fact clean some cymbals.
What with? First question.
It was a Zildjian brand cymbal cleaner.
Oh, okay.
Which made sense because I was cleaning Zildjian cymbals.
Yeah.
Now, my first set of pro cymbals, I got a full set of A-Custom projections.
Mm.
Yeah. Quite bright, shiny cymbals.
Yeah.
And you know me, George, a little bit of a clean freak.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah.
So you start using these cymbals and choking them and taking them off your stand and in your bag. Hello, Mr. Thumbprint.
Mm.
How are you today?
Yeah, you're back.
You know, you start getting fingerprints. You start getting a little bit of maybe stick marks. Just little, you know, things like that. And so for me, I'd be like, ugh, I want them to be shiny.
Yeah.
And look new.
Yeah.
So I bought some Zildjian cymbal cleaner. Mm. I think I was like 16 yeah. at the time. And it was like a sort of cream, and you put it on, and you have like a soft cloth, and you just sort of rub it, following the grooves of the
Karate
cymbal.
Kid style.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was my nickname growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wax on, wax off.
Yeah.
But
hair
cymbals.
On, hair off.
That should yeah. be, do you know what? That should be drum teachers. Imagine if I turned up to study with Pat again, and the first year is just cleaning cymbals, wax on, wax off, and I'm like, this is, I don't know what this isn't. There's some teaching you discipline or something.
And then a year in, he puts you in front of a kit, you're rubbish, and he goes, oh, forget it, get out.
But the cymbals look great.
Yeah. And what it did, I think if I can recall right, it made the cymbals go really like cloudy.
Okay.
You sort of let it dry, and then you buff it with a clean, soft cloth, and they become really shiny. And at the time, it was like, wow, this is amazing. These look really clean and shiny and back to their best.
Mm.
But you pick the fucker up, you put a thumbprint on it.
Yeah.
It's the impossible job to keep them like that. And also, you have to be very careful because I think cymbal cleaner will
rub off the branding, will rub off the lettering, you know.
Anyway, so that's the only time I've ever cleaned cymbals.
So how long into it did you stop doing it? How many months?
I think I cleaned them once, maybe twice, and then I just stopped. Really, I stopped bothering.
Yeah.
Because it just became like, oh, as soon as I've cleaned it, it's literally got thumbprints on it and fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
Instantly. So that's when I last did it, and I've never done it since. Because it was just like, what's the point? There's no point.
Yeah.
They just get dirty straight away.
Yeah.
But anyway, so looking at, I've seen on online and stuff, people being incredibly adamant to just don't ever clean them.
Yeah.
And some of that comes from, it's just a boring job. And, you know, and some people say there's actually like a thin protective layer.
Yeah.
On the cymbals that you will eventually wear off.
Bit like dogs. You're not meant to bath your dogs. They have their own cleaning system.
Sure. Yeah. Same with Princess. She'll clean it. She'll clean herself.
Yeah.
You know, she'll take those thumbprints right off. Now, I saw a word pop up, George. I'm going to say this word to you and see what you think about it.
Oh, God.
Patina.
Thank God it was that.
Yeah.
Racial slur. Hey, go on.
Patina. Have you ever heard the word patina before?
No.
I believe it's pronounced patina. P-A-T-I-N-A.
Okay.
I assume it's patina, not patina. Maybe there'd be a double N if it was patina. Anyway, patina. I was like, what's this word cropping up? Okay. Let me just get my phone. Because people are going, let the natural patina cut through, you know. Now, I did find some things. Right. So let's talk about the definition of patina.
Mm.
This is from the Collins English Dictionary.
Yep.
My favourite dictionary of all time. Yeah. The Oxford one can go fuck itself. One, a fine crust or film on bronze or copper, usually green or greenish blue, formed by natural oxidation and often valued as being ornamental.
Mm.
So basically it's like, sometimes have you seen that on cymbals? There might be a little bit of a green patch.
Yeah. It's like school drum kits, my God.
Yeah.
Basically all green.
Yeah. So, basically it's like I ain't a scientist, as you know.
You're not?
So this is... No. My brother's a scientist.
Yeah.
You know, trying to cure cancer. Yeah, but check out this kick drum. Saving the world in different ways. Yeah. So basically it's like, it's a natural oxidization. And I guess it's, as the cymbal ages, that protective layer wears away just from playing, from human touch, and the oils from their fingers and things like that. This protective layer wears away. And then eventually the bronze, you know, cymbals usually bronze, the B20s, just starts to naturally oxidize.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it gets a little bit dirty. That's where you get this dirty. And then the little bit of green, and that's called patina. Because I kept seeing people go like, oh, no, let the patina do its thing. Let the patina do its thing. Oh, who's patina? Who's patina? Yeah. Well, I'll give you this then, George.
She must be rushed off her feet.
Yeah, patina in the waves. Yeah?
Yeah, go on.
And then it got me thinking, of course, the most famous example of patina that I can think of that I saw very recently, and I'll pose this to you, George.
Yeah.
What do you think it is? Can you think of a world famous thing that has absolute patinaed?
So patina, just to re-say what it is, it's basically it's something over bronze, metals,
It's bronze, coppers, that bronze, sort of coppers, metals, and those alloys.
So it's going to be
over
something
time oxidize. And
there's going to be
green,
something, some big metal thing.
Some big metal thing that I saw recently.
Oh.
As a clue.
Oh, okay. The thing you went up on the first night in New York.
No.
No.
It's a building made of brick. And concrete. You're in the right area.
Well, yeah, in New York. Assumed it wasn't Hilsey.
Hilsey Lido, just patina it.
Is it the...
But that is just filthy, actually. That does need a good clean.
Big Libs. Big Libby.
Yeah. Statue of Libby, yeah, mate.
Statue of Libby.
Was it always green?
Oh, okay. That's a good one. Wow.
When it came over, it was you know, metal-coloured, copper, bronze, whatever.
And she's looking ill. Yeah.
Oxidised over time, and it's green.
Wow. There you go.
And they went, there ain't enough Zildjian symbol cleaner in the world to... That's a big job, that one.
Yeah, that is a big job.
And by the time you've finished, you put a thumbprint on, you're like, waste of time. Again. We'll just let it go green.
Yeah.
So that's patina.
Ah.
Now, I've seen it with in regards to symbols, why people say you shouldn't clean your symbols. One is because waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you'll take off the brand. You'll take off the prints, the lettering prints, and the branding. And three is that the symbols sound better with patina than aged. And that this layer of dirt and this thing. Now, I think you could very simplify it. Like, symbols might sound less bright.
Yeah.
It might just take the edge off.
Mm.
So, and it just, they just sound, in a lot of people's opinions, they just sound better with a bit of age, a bit of vintage, a bit of history, and maybe just mellows them out, like even like 1 or 2%.
Yeah.
So, it's still, I guess, personal choice.
Yeah.
But I'll say this, the top new beat I have is very dirty.
Yeah.
Very dirty. So I think there's a difference between just dirt and grime and the natural aging of the metal. So I think what I'm going to do is just be incredibly careful with literally just a damp cloth with a little bit of lukewarm water. I don't know who Luke is, but and just see if I can get rid of a bit of dirt rather than some aging. But I'll also tell you this.
Go on.
I recorded them the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't playing them, but I had Young Pine back in the studio to come and do another hit single.
Yep.
And I was like, Liam, I got these new beats. Let's try them out.
Yeah.
And they sounded bloody brilliant.
Nice.
Right? Especially through the microphone.
Yeah.
And it was that thing of going... Okay, trying to analyze. Okay, quickly analyze. Like, what's the difference? What makes you sound good?
Yeah.
The only way I could just think of it was, you know, and I saw Neil the other day, and I said, "Oh, I recorded the new beats," and he was like, "Oh, what sort of, what you're getting from them?" I was like, the only way I can just simply describe it is, they just sound like the dictionary definition of a hi-hat.
Yeah.
It's just everything you want and need. If you were to look them up in an audio dictionary,
yeah,
and it says hi-hat. Semicolon.
Mm.
That's the sound that plays.
Yeah.
So are they just? Yeah. Okay, I get it. Yeah. That's why they're just.
Well, it's that
considered
thing.
One of the most, you know, industry. One of the most industry standard.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with a pair of new beats. Yeah, because they fucking sound like a hi hat.
Yeah.
But they were like, they had enough brightness. They had enough chick to them.
Yeah.
But the wash was good. They weren't overbearing.
There weren't very many harsh frequencies. They felt nice to play.
Mm.
So just all round lovely stuff, which makes me now go, do I even touch the dirt on them?
Yeah, what if they sound
maybe
shit?
Maybe I just leave them. Yeah, what if I take away all that 20 years of New York vintage
Broadway
club scene, Broadway scene, which, again, no guarantee that's what they've actually done, but we'd like to think they have.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Just to finish up on cleaning, so I'd say overall, don't bother your cleaning your symbols.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
I feel like, do we have an argument for cleaning symbols? Because it's been very like...
I think it's weaker. I think but some say you might restore some of the brightness.
Yeah.
You might restore some of the brightness. For me personally, I think visually it looks great having... real polished
symbols,
but I think in reality to keep that up, it's just not worth the effort. But and actually two of my symbols now, they're not, my aren't brilliant shiny.
Yeah,
I think it only works on, you know, those really shiny like A's and
yeah,
like my Sabian Evolution,
that is a shiny symbol.
Yeah,
but the Legacy and the Sweet Ride, they're not shiny symbols.
So,
I think just, you know, appearance, restoring some of the brightness, I just think overall the cons outweigh the pros for me.
Yeah.
And I just say don't clean them.
Yeah.
And let them age gracefully.
Yeah. Like wine.
Like Yunnan. Ah. Yeah. But if you are going to clean symbols, I was...
Got some recommendations.
Well, yeah, just the Groove Juice comes up a lot.
I bet it does. It's the best name I've ever heard. For anything.
Groove Juice. But the one that I think each symbol brand has their own cleaner.
Yeah.
But the one that I like that people recommend is Barkeeper's Friend.
That's quite nice.
Which actually isn't a specialist symbol cleaner, but it is a specialist cleaning product for metals.
Mm.
And when you go on a website, so I looked up Barkeeper's Friend, and it seems like one of them old brands that just works and just stuck around and hasn't changed. I'll go on their website, go onto the About section, and the first sentence, 100 years of cleaning power. It all began with rhubarb.
Love it. I'm hooked.
Right, I'm hooked.
If
I'm
a
hooked,
book
yep.
started like that, I'd yeah. read it, you know?
Yeah. In 1882, a chemist, he cooked up a pan of rhubarb, which was common in the gardens of yore. Yeah, this is great.
After
plating his recipe, the man found that his formerly tarnished pot sparkled.
Wow.
Being a chemist, he quickly ruled out magic and set out to discover the property that made rhubarb such a superior cleaning agent. The secret? Oxalic acid. Found naturally in rhubarb and other vegetables like spinach, oxalic acid attacks stubborn rust, tarnish, and lime stains at the molecular level, breaking the bonds that holds them together. Using that ingredient, he formulated an oxalic acid-based cleaning powder that he sold to taverns for use as a brass rail polish. Thrilled at the results, they dubbed the product Barkeeper's Friend. And just
amazing.
All sort of that, really.
Sorry, that was the best... Being a chemist, he quickly ruled out magic.
Yeah.
He just said, Oh, could it be this? Oh, no, no. I'm a chemist and I can say for sure, once again, it's not magic. It is.
Well, I find quite often I'm having to rule out magic. you can never be sure.
Yeah. It's like and planes. How does a plane go up in the air?
Yeah. Well, I'll rule out magic for now.
Yeah.
Might be those big engines on the side. Well, exactly. These new beat cymbals sound really good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll rule out magic.
They could have left that out. That was brilliant. Being a chemist, he quickly ruled out magic. They could have just explained what it was. Oh.
But it's one of those, it verges on one of those slightly like twee product descriptions or
that was almost like folklore.
But it was good. But do you get some like innocent smoothies? Like,
Yeah.
They have, and you're just like, oh, come on, you're a vast multi-million corporation.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be our mate.
Stop trying to act like there's just seven of you in a little hut.
Yeah, and you're all wearing flannels. Flannel shirts.
It's in a highly sanitized, massive factory. Yeah.
Yeah, BrewDog. You're just not matching the living wage anymore.
You're not cool in indie anymore, BrewDog.
Yeah.
Basically just Carlsberg.
You sit on a board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A different name.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
I think that'll see me through, really, for me personally. I can do the ambient mics another time.
Yeah, we can do that another time.
But, is there anything you've been
up
to?
Yeah, well, I was for the last 5 minutes, because we'll keep this to a half hour.
Keep this one short.
Met a new drummer yesterday.
People have got things to do.
Well, this is it, yeah. People might be rushed this Thursday morning. No, new drummer mate, Jack Hicklin. Basically, Pat passed my number on to him because he's looking to learn Ableton.
GDPR, broken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's just giving my number out willy-nilly. We met up yesterday. He had a lesson with Pat. And I said, let's hang out afterwards, because he basically messaged me. He said, look, I'm starting learning Ableton. I've got this tour coming up. I need any sort of help. I was like, come down, boy. Come down to this studio. Not actually in the little pod, because there's nowhere we both fit. So, but it was quite interesting. I've done this a couple of times, but it was the first time I'd sort of tried to show Ableton to someone who was a stranger. And, it was good. It's that thing of, everyone's still learning, but I'm still learning. I was trying to help him put this set together. I was going, well, you do this, and then you do that, and then, oh, it's fucked up. And then I'm sort of trying to work out what's gone wrong. And he's like, what's happened? I'm like, I don't know. Blind leading the blind. But
again, you're just one lesson ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I was sort of showing him stuff. And he was asking some questions. I was like, I've no idea. You're on your own with that one. So I wasn't the best. I didn't charge him for this Ableton lesson.
Jack, I've grossly exaggerated my abilities with Ableton.
Yeah. I can show you, I can turn it on.
If you want to do a Ren set, I can get that for you sorted.
Exactly. But no, it was quite good. It was quite good to, it's that thing of, what's the quote about being a teacher? Where it's like, the ones teaching learn the most or something like that.
I think it's like, if you can't do anything else, teach or something, isn't it?
If you can't teach, teach gym. School
if
of rock.
If you want 6 weeks off in the summer.
And just do some colouring in every morning, be a teacher.
Yeah.
Joking. Very tricky job. It's just good. It was quite cool. And I think it's something I kind of want to do a bit more. And but he didn't have all the stems for this set he's doing. And I said, look, when you get the stems, come back to Brighton and we'll make the set together. Spend a day doing it. Because it's just, I enjoy it. When it works, it's fun to do Ableton. When it doesn't, you want to kill yourself. When it works, it's like good. And I think that's, I quite like it. I did it with my friend Dan the other day for the 80s band. And just sort of helped him get it going, because he wants to move everything onto Ableton for their band. And it's quite nice. It's quite satisfying to be like, because also sometimes, I mean, I'm sure you have it when you show people Pro Tools and you show them something and they're like, whoa, what was that? And you kind of feel like, yeah, it's cool. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was showing
very
him like
satisfying,
how to do like even just the markers. So it's like you put the track down and then you can do this thing where you get the markers. So it's like intro, verse, etc. And then you press verse and then it goes straight to that. And he didn't know how to do that because, you know, he's the very beginning of his Ableton journey. And it was quite nice to be like, look, if you do that, then when you're in a rehearsal and someone's like, can we go back to the second verse? You'd be like, yeah, yeah, we can. You know what I mean? Little things like that. So, yeah, it was quite nice. But I think it's just something fun to do. It was nice for me to learn it and then show other people what I've learned, but also still be at a level where I'm learning as we go. So I'd show him some stuff and then he'd be like, how do we do that? And I'd be like, I don't know, let's find out, you know. So yeah, that's Ableton.
Googling and is better together.
Yeah, exactly. Let's learn together.
I think in general I find this with studio work, or even just being a drummer, like a lot of it you're on your own.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
You can be a lot on your own in the practice room. You'll be alone sorting your Ableton out.
Mm.
And there is something to be said for a little bit of teamwork.
Yeah, there is. There is.
Yeah. Especially when you both don't know something.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
But then as you say, it's good when someone does have the answer you need. And it's also nice
when you have the answer someone needs. Did I say that right? You know?
God, that was
poetic.
To be
the one to receive the knowledge. But also, it's good to be the one to give the knowledge.
Yeah. Give and take. Back and forth. Yin and yang. Right.
George and Ben. Bill and Ted.
Yeah. No, we can't just list duos. This is why we go over half an hour.
Well, let's wrap up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely little chat. Thank you very much, George.
Thank you. Thank you for telling me about Patina.
Yeah, Patina. Just be aware of it, boy. And I ask all you listeners at home, get your cymbals out. Have a look.
Yeah.
How aged are they?
Yeah.
Any patina? Have you thought about cleaning your cymbals? Have you cleaned your cymbals?
Do you know
if
what?
You clean them, what do you use?
I'm going to take more of an aggressive stance to our listeners today. Usually we're like, hey, if you want to send in stuff, do it. But today, send in pictures of your cymbals. You know what I mean? We will talk
Let's
about
Let's find them. The nation's dirtiest cymbal.
Yeah. Everyone listening to
my
this.
My new beat's up there. Yeah. I'll take a proper photo of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty grim. But boy, does it sound good. Yeah. drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com.
Mm.
Send in those emails.
Yeah. Drum and Drummer Podcast on the old Instagram.
Yep.
At Ball Drummers on Twitter.
Yeah.
Somewhere on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's
isn't
about it.
It.
Yeah. Send them in and rate us on Spotify. You know,
rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give it the 5 stars. Yeah. Give it the big one. Write a little comment. Un. Oh, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, and don't rate
it. Oh, I love it.
One, as
if
a
they
joke.
Ever stop, I'll end it all, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that.
This is it.
Really put the pressure on those sponsors to come find us.
Give us some money. Cool. Right. See you later.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.